Hey, good morning. It's great to be with all of you again today. Today we celebrate what is called Pentecost. Pentecost is not a section of Christians called Pentecostals, but as we talk about celebrating Pentecost, it goes back over 2,000 years ago, and it was the day of celebration. All the Jews came together, but on that day was the day the Holy Spirit was given to mankind. If you remember the story, in the upper room, 120 believers came together. They were praying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. If you remember, Jesus prophesied this, and he told his disciples, don't go out and minister, don't go out and preach, don't do anything until you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. After they had been filled in the upper room, it was Peter that went down into the streets with all of the people. Huge crowd of people that day began to preach under a brand new anointing, and 3,000 people came to Christ that day, and that was the beginning of the church. So that's what we celebrate today. It was the birth of the church, and I want to remind everyone of the great power and the gift that God has given to us called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also labeled in the Word of God as our counselor, our guide, our comforter, and the Holy Spirit needs to be active in our lives every single day. This morning, I want to bring a message to you that is entitled Masterpiece. And I want to start from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, we are God's masterpiece to do the good things He has planned long ago. Do you realize that you have been created in the image of God? Think about that for a moment. You have been created in the image of God. You know, that's not just a nice thought. That is an audacious claim that we have been created in His likeness. Now, it doesn't say that we were created as little gods, though many people live as if they're their own God, but He said we have been created in that amazing image of our Creator. In Genesis 1 and verses 26 and 27, listen to what it says. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in His own image. Do you realize that of all the creation, all the living creatures on earth, that we are the only ones who have been stamped with the characteristics of God Himself? In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, you have been made a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. When God created you, He gave you glory and honor. You know what that means? It means that every single human, that you become famous to those who are in heaven because glory and honor has been given to you. You know, it was many years ago that our whole family got together and we went on vacation. And we went to Universal Studios. You know what I like the most about going on to that park is getting on the trolley car and riding around and seeing the back lots and where so many movies have been made. As we drove into a neighborhood, it was an actual neighborhood of all of these houses and beautiful yards and white picket fences, but they were just facades. The front of the house, nothing was behind that. But as we drove through, I loved it because I recognized so many of those houses that I've seen in sitcoms and movies and TV shows. As we came around in the trolley car down the hill, the one on the microphone that was giving us the tour, he said, now if you will look to your left, you'll see Bates Motel and the house from Psycho. As I looked up, there that iconic house was that we've seen so many times. And man, I just loved that. As we drove down the hill, then we drove through and between some of these gigantic buildings, which were sound studios. And as he was giving us the tour and talking on the microphone, he said, okay, I'm going to get off of the microphone for a moment because we're passing by one of the sound studios where right now inside they are filming the brand new Batman movie. As we were driving by and everyone was quiet and silent, so bad I wanted to jump off of that trolley car, run to the door, run inside, and see all of the things that was happening inside. I wanted to see the staging and the props and the actors and the directors. I wanted to see Batman in action. What I really wanted, I wanted to see behind the scenes. Have you ever really wanted to pull back the curtain in your own life? To see what God has created in you, to see what God has planned for you to do. You see, every life, you and me and everyone, There is a purpose, a plan that God has for each one of us. And I would love to pull back the curtain and to see really what God desires for me to do on this earth. You know, you go back to a story in the very beginning of the New Testament, and you find the story of Zechariah. He's in the temple and he's doing his daily activities and what he does every day as he works at the temple. It's just an ordinary day until one day an angel appears to him and says, "You and your wife Elizabeth are going to give birth to a child." Well, his wife had been barren, unable to have children, and now she's beyond the ability, physical ability, to give birth. And yet the angel says, "She shall give birth to a child." As you read this story, it's remarkable the detail in which he speaks of this child that will be born, and his name will be John. He'll be known as John the Baptist, but there was a plan, a purpose, an impact that he would have upon the world. You know, I've heard so many times, and I think Kay and I have probably said this ourselves, but parents who have 3 and 4 and 5 children, many times when they talk about their youngest child, they'll say something like this: "Well, this was our little surprise. This was our oops or our mistake." But let me just remind everyone that whenever you are conceived, the moment of conception that God has ordained you, it doesn't matter if you are an oops or a mistake or if this was our little surprise, or if you were born out of wedlock, or you were abandoned by your parents at childbirth. You are ordained of God, and there was a plan and a detailed purpose for you living in this world. You know, we've got to stop living at just this ground level that we seem to all live in. You know, we need to live to a higher level. It's a spiritual level. It would be what would be called a biblical level, living at a higher level. You know, we hear the old saying that goes like this, that we can't see the forest because of all of the trees. Think about how true that really is. If you were dropped down into a forest, a dense forest, and there are hundreds, thousands, and maybe millions of pine trees that you're surrounded by, everywhere you look, there are trees, trees, trees everywhere. But if someone were able to lift you up out of that forest in a helicopter, now hovering over at a higher perspective, at a higher level, now you're able to see all of the mountain regions, the cliffs, the meadows, the waterfalls, you're able to see it from a brand new perspective. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." If you've been in church for very long, you've probably heard that verse many, many times, maybe hundreds of times or thousands of times. But I want you to listen to this. Don't let that go in one ear and out the other. But think about what God is saying. God's word's telling us how to live our lives, that we live it by faith and we're not living it by sight. The moment I read those words, my mind goes back to Matthew chapter 9, where it's a story of 2 blind men. And they're living in this small village and they've befriended one another because they both are blind and they're able to help one another. Someone begins to tell them that Jesus is going to pass through their little small community, and everyone was excited. People from all over the area, they came and lined the streets because they had heard so much about Jesus and they just wanted to get a glimpse of him. Now Jesus is approaching that little community, and as he's walking down Main Street, lined full of people, it's like a parade, and these 2 blind men are saying to each other, "We've heard about him. We've heard about the miracles and the healings. If we could just somehow get in front of him, maybe he could heal us." And so they listened carefully, and as the crowd began to roar as Jesus walked by, they realized he's right in front of them, and they begin to call his name, Jesus, as loud as they could. And they were calling it out, and as they called his name, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on us," the Bible says, and he stopped in his tracks. I love that. I love that because what that means to us is that every time you call upon Jesus, you call his name, he hears your voice, and when he hears your voice, he stops in his tracks and he's looking at you. You have his full attention at that moment. As he sees these 2 blind men, he now has them brought out before him, And here in Matthew 9 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Do you believe that I am able to make you see again?" And they answered, "Yes, Lord, we believe." In verse 29, he says, "According to your faith, let it be done unto you." Another translation puts it like this: become what you believe. You see, that doesn't come from some self-help author. That comes from the very words of Jesus Christ. What he says to us, become what you believe. What you believe about yourself and what you believe that resides inside of you is going to determine how you fulfill what God has placed inside of you. What you believe is what you actually will become in life. You know what? Tarantula is a very ugly little creature. And it's hairy and it's just kind of scary when you see that. Do you realize that they have eight eyes, and yet they have very poor eyesight? That's a little strange to me. And when you think about these tarantulas, they are precise killers. They are quick and they are accurate. They can kill their prey very effectively. How can they be so precise with such poor eyesight? Well, here's the answer to that: that their legs have these hairy little follicles all over them, and they're very, very sensitive to any kind of movement. When the spider is still and it's not moving, and the prey is somewhere out in front of him, he begins to sense and feel by the hair follicles that the prey is approaching him far before he's able to see it with his own eyes. It can't see well, but it's extremely perceptive. Exactly how all of us need to live in our spiritual lives. Do you realize that we have very poor eyesight? That we cannot see into the future very well at all? We're blinded by the future because we have no idea what tomorrow may bring into our lives. We cannot see 5 minutes into the future, 5 seconds into the future, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the great gift that God has given to each one of us, we can operate in the giftings. A gift the Holy Spirit helps us operate in is the gift of discernment, of where we know something in the future, we know something is about to take place when we should not know that at all. It's being able to perceive, to discern, or to know spiritually something that we should not know. You know, when I was a kid, I remember singing a song in church many, many times, and it was a song that went like this: "I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. I've just got a feeling. I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right." Do you realize that you can't always rely on your eyes? You can't always rely on your feelings, but you've got to rely on the inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit, of where you know that you know that you know that you're making the right decision and you're being led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding." Here's another one of those verses we've heard so often. But trust the Lord. Trust Him with your heart. Don't lean into your own wisdom, your own understanding, but understand that you need to be led by the Spirit of God. While we find ourselves living in such pain at times because of bad decisions that we have made. Has this ever happened to you? Where maybe you wake up one morning and you just don't feel right. Maybe you got a pain in your side and it's bothering you throughout the day. And so you sit down and you think, what is this pain? And so you sit down and you Google "pain in my side." And you start reading and you start reading more and more and more, and you start reading about the symptoms and the horror stories of people who had a pain in their side, that it could be your appendix or kidney failure or cancer, and you keep reading and reading until you convince yourself that you're going to die by the end of the day. You know, we all have done things like that and allowing ourselves to operate by worry. You know, if you've got a pain, of course it's good to be cautious and to get it checked out. But instead of letting your mind immediately go to, "I'm going to die and it's got to be cancer," what we do is we need to lift our thoughts to a higher level and begin to live at a biblical level, a spiritual level of where we are saying, I've got a feeling. I've just got a feeling deep down inside that God is in control and everything is going to be all right. There's a scripture in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Do you realize that in the Bible that it refers to us as an eagle over 25 different times? But God's word never refers to you as a crow or a chicken or a turkey. When you think about those kinds of birds, you think about crows that are always fighting with other birds, and you have chickens that are always flapping their wings and they never get off the ground, or turkeys who make a lot of noise who always end up on the dinner table at Thanksgiving. He didn't refer to you as those kinds of birds, but he referred to you as an eagle, one who is able to open up its wings, to catch the thermal winds, and to soar higher and farther than any other bird ever created. But those who trust in the Lord, those that are able to trust in Him, that He's able to take you to soar above all adversity and problems and issues and fears that we have in our lives. You know, eagles are magnificent creatures. An eagle is able to fly 1,000 miles away from its birthplace. It flies 1,000 miles away, and then it will fly 1,000 miles back to where it was birthed. How can an eagle find its way back home? Not just in a region, but it can find its exact place, the exact tree, the exact nest. How is that possible? Well, scientists tell us that eagles, when they are born, they have this fluid in their eyes, and over a period of time as they grow older, it hardens. When it hardens, it becomes like a compass that operates in their lives. As they fly 1,000 miles away, and as now they're returning, if they're returning back to their birthplace and they begin to get off course and they start veering in a wrong direction, they experience low-level pain in their eyes. The eagle will shake its head and it will bother the eagle until the eagle is back on course. And once it's on course, the pain subsides. As it continues to fly that long distance, that it begins to veer off in this direction, getting off course just a little, and it begins to experience the pain again until it's back on course. Too many people today are living in pain because they're off track, because they're trying to live life on their own, making their own decisions, making their own way in life, instead of allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God Himself. You see, when we try to be our own God, that we make all kinds of wrong decisions. Do you realize the world is full? Maybe you know people that have made poor decisions, and today, because of those decisions, they're living in pain. There's no peace in their life. It was several months ago that I'd gotten up one morning and I was on my way to staff meeting, and I was going to teach that morning a leadership teaching. And I got caught on the phone before I left the house and talking to someone that really needed some help and I spent time with. And after I got the phone, I realized I'm barely going to make it there on time. Reached over to grab my things, to get into the car, grabbed those things, grabbed my keys, but my keys weren't there. And I always lay my keys right there on the table, but they weren't there. So I quickly ran to all the different rooms, to the den and into the kitchen, looking on the counters, into my bedroom, the nightstand, into the bathroom, on the counter. The keys were nowhere, and I knew that I had left them right on the table. I said to my wife, Kay, did you pick up my keys? I'm convinced she picked them up. She said, no. She said, I have not seen them. But I'm thinking she picked those keys up and put them somewhere and wasn't really thinking about it. And I began to get frustrated because now I'm really late to this meeting I have to be at. And so I'm running around the house and I'm saying, Kay, think with me. You put those keys somewhere, and my frustration is rising and I'm putting the blame on her. When I put my hands in my pockets of my jacket, and there were my keys. I hated so bad to tell her the keys are right here in my pocket. You know, I tell you that story because I've run into so many people through a time of tragedy, difficulty, frustration, and they'll say something like this. You know, I've just lost my peace. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, he said, the peace in me is in you. Think about this. If you as a believer have Christ in you, if Christ is in you, then peace is also in you. If you think, I've just lost my peace, man, going through COVID-19, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my business, shut down the restaurant. I'm self-employed. Now, as we're into 11 weeks, 12 weeks, I don't know how we're going to rebound. I don't know what's going to happen. And the stress is mounting. Remember this. All you have to do is reach on the inside. There is that peace that God offers to you. And that peace is supernatural that can override every problem and issue in your life. You see, there's a calm that we need to operate in. It's living at a higher level, a higher perspective. And if you're watching right now, and maybe you've never really made that commitment of saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. I recognize that I've been created in your image, but I want more than that. I want you living and dwelling in my life. I want to pray with you that you might receive Christ right now. But I also want to pray in this ending prayer for all of you that are stressed and worried and you don't know what to do in life. You just don't know if you're going to survive this, make this, what's going to happen. I want to pray with you that you would experience this God by moving to a higher perspective, that you realize that my life is in the hands of the Creator, that everything is going to be all right. Can I pray with you this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I just ask that today that those that want to receive you as their Lord and God, that they realize that right now that, Lord, that we in our flesh will make all kinds of wrong decisions that bring havoc upon our lives. That God, I want to submit myself to you, my Creator, my designer, the one that has detailed plans and a purpose of my life. I want to know what that is. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. And Lord, I pray that today I'm renewed. I'm a new person in Christ. And I start a brand new relationship with you. God, I also pray for everyone who's watching right now that, Lord, they are stressed, they're worried, they're panicky. And I'm just asking, Lord, that there's a calm that would begin to move upon each and every person. And Lord, it's a supernatural peace and the calm that you bring. Lord, what this is, it's recognizing that you are in charge. Why do I fear and why do I worry when you are in charge? So God, I pray, let that miracle take place this morning. And we thank you for that. And in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.